Morning.
Morning.
Thanks for coming in the rain. It might have been tempting not to, but look at all of you. Okay. So if I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times. You gotta release the old negative beliefs to make way for more good in your life. You gotta let go of the fear, anger, unforgiveness, unworthiness, because they block your good. Good is piled up like gift packages outside your door, and you can't bring them in until there's room. Is this sounding familiar? And so the other day, one of you asked me, how? How exactly do we release the bad stuff? Now, before you protest that you don't want to label any part of yourself as bad, you may call it whatever you like: unwise, unhealthy, unskilled, not useful. I'm not saying it's real or correct about you. I am saying nearly all of us carry around beliefs that have worn grooves into our brains, telling us what we can't do or don't deserve. Call it the inner critic, the critical parent, the old tapes. It's only a function of human personality, but it can block our spiritual connection like a kink in a garden hose. Often these beliefs were childhood coping mechanisms that no longer serve us. Decisions about life that we made at 2 or 4, like, I'll get my way if I throw a tantrum, and now you're a rageaholic. Or, I'll feel better if I eat a cookie, and now you weigh 400 pounds. Or we decided, everything is my fault, or nobody wants me around, or I'm not smart, I'm not pretty, or life is hard, or there's never enough for me. Or we believed what someone told us. You really can't sing. You can't dance. You can't draw. You're not as smart as your brother. And some of us heard, you're just no good. It's only a belief because we believed it. And now it's blocking our good. Don't judge yourself for taking on these qualities or beliefs any more than you judge yourself for needing to take a bath. Stuff just piles up in the course of a lifetime, and we need a periodic cleansing. But how? I gave this a lot of thought, as I do most of your questions. So, 3 steps of preparation and 5 for release. First suggestion, turn and face the negative beliefs like monsters in a nightmare. Turn and look at them. This does not require years of therapy. You could probably make a list right now of 4 or 5 beliefs or qualities that consistently get in your way or keep you from living your best life at work, in relationships, in your health. Turn and face them, not to fight them, because they'll fight back. What we resist persists. Just to acknowledge their presence. Even that is hard. I would rather not acknowledge them. But they're like computer programs that have been left open, just draining power. The inner voice is like a TV that's been left on in another room. It's distracting. It keeps me from thinking clearly. I may not even notice there's background noise, but it's competing with everything else I try to do. So start tuning into the noise. In the course of this week, just notice how many times you hear yourself say, in some form, there's not enough, or I can't, or I've never been good at that. You'll probably be surprised how often you say it out loud, but try to catch the internal voice too. Most of these beliefs are not hidden. They're running through our minds all day, every day. We use them to justify and explain and prevent disappointment. You might actually want to write down your top 4 or 5. You might also want to name that voice that keeps reminding you how you're failing. Your inner critic, inner bully, ego. You can give it a name and a face and even draw a picture of it. Amy Ehlers, who runs the Inner Mean Girl Reform School, named one of her inner critics Loveless Lulu. And she can draw a picture. Lulu wears a frowsy house coat and has a martini in one hand and a cigarette in the other. And she says, "You'll never be loved, kid." So the first step is awareness. Once the monsters have been seen and identified, they can't be unseen. But awareness is cheap. Awareness doesn't make them go away. And judging your imperfections doesn't help. If ever you want to see a motley crew of imperfect people, read the Bible. Especially in the Old Testament, their flaws were recorded as part of their stories. It's who they were. David, greatest king Israel ever had, they never forgot his adultery with Bathsheba and that he sent her husband to battle to be killed. And he's still seen as a great and wise king with a direct connection to God. Noah saved all the animals in the ark, and when he got to dry land, he got stinking drunk. They didn't tell you that in Sunday school, did they? No, I mean, think about that. He had to plant and grow his own vineyard first. How long does it take to get the grapes? Years? Anyway, it's in the Bible. Jacob cheated his twin brother out of his birthright with his mother's help. Saul, the king before David, totally insane. He was violent too, and David used to play a harp to calm Saul down, and every now and then Saul would just hurl a spear across the room at David. But on other days, he loved David. It's crazy making. So these are the people being used as good examples of righteousness and purposes. Starting with Adam and Eve, human beings have made mistakes, they have carried tragic flaws, and they still had incredible success and made a positive difference in the world. So as you turn and face those beliefs or qualities that are not serving you, just notice, don't judge. And then second, if noticing doesn't clarify things for you, ask. Ask for awareness. You will be shown. Remember, you're not digging into this stuff to see what an awful person you are. You're looking for blocks to your good so you can release them. Before you let these imperfections go, talk to them. Ask what gifts they brought you. Because in the beginning, they really were here to serve and protect you. And some of them might have worked for a long time. For example, if you have a need to be the smartest person in the room and make sure everyone knows it, I know nothing about that. It might at first have kept you from feeling inadequate. And then it might have propelled you through school to advanced degrees and a successful career. But it could be a trait that no longer serves, because people don't like that. If you have a belief that there's never enough money, it might have spurred you to work hard and take big risks for big rewards and become a great provider, but living in fear of financial insecurity is miserable. If you can't immediately see how a flaw has been useful, just accept that it did serve a purpose for a while, but those coping skills are causing problems now. Their protection has become a prison. Time to let them go. And there's one more step in preparation. First was face them, whatever is blocking your good. Second, thank them for the temporary gifts they brought. And then third, get really connected. Prayer, meditation, nature, whatever does it for you. Feel yourself in the presence of the divine. I keep talking about the story of Jesus in the wilderness, but it's such a good illustration of Jesus confronting his human ego, his inner demons. In the story, they're represented by an actual devil outside of him. But Jesus' temptations were to cut corners, show off, abuse his power, and make himself greater than God. He overcame those temptations by staying connected, by pulling in divine power. And we can do that when we keep ourselves aligned. So after you've looked at the monsters with clear eyes and without judging yourself, you've considered the gifts they brought, you've made sure you're in a place of inner peace, and ideally you're feeling a sense of oneness with the divine. Then I have five suggestions for how to release what blocks your good. The bad stuff, the defects of character, the unskilled behavior that no longer serves you, the limiting beliefs. And these ideas are based on what I've heard and read and tried myself. So first, replace or reframe these defects. You can ask, what does my inner wisdom know? Or what is the truth about myself? Your inner wisdom knows that you are love and loved, that you are inherently good, that you have everything you need, that all is well. Listen to that voice and grab hold of what it says. There is a place here for affirmations, to reroute those well-worn ruts in the brain, but not Band-Aid affirmations that simply reverse whatever bad stuff you've been telling yourself. For instance, if your limiting belief is there's not enough, replacing that with I am prosperous is likely to just set up an internal argument. Unless when you say I am, you remember it's the divine speaking through you, as you. I am prosperous isn't just you as a person or a personality living on earth with a bank account. I am is God, all that is. And certainly it is prosperous, abundant, overflowing. It's the I am of your being, the divine in you, affirming the truth of your abundance. So let your inner wisdom or the divine within replace your limiting beliefs with truth. Second, you can ask to have defects removed. In AA, 4 of the 12 steps are about this, just what we're talking about. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Take an inventory, make a list of the good and bad. Admit it. Turn and face the monsters. Admit to God, to yourself, and one other person. Become ready to have these defects removed. There's a whole step just about willingness. And then humbly ask God to remove them. Sometimes they're just lifted away. Sometimes removal is a process, a series of experiences. Sometimes I think they stay with us, but we have the strength not to act on them. We can make new choices. You might want to create a releasing ceremony. We do this every year at the end of the year with the burning bowl. Write down whatever you want to leave in the fading year and burn it up in a fire. You can have your own burning bowl anytime. A ritual is acting out a process instead of just thinking about it. And it often helps to get the body involved, something you can see and do with your hands, even smell and here. Third suggestion is energy work, speaking of the body. In all of these methods, but especially with energy work, you don't need to know the whole story about why you have these beliefs, where they came from, when it started. Again, awareness is cheap, just doesn't help that much. With energy work, there are all sorts of ways to remove the patterns that hamper your life without having to name or explain them. And this room is full of people who can help with that. Qigong, Reiki, quantum touch, sound, color, tapping, the emotion code, we've got them all. Energy work is one more way of releasing what does not serve you. And then the fourth suggestion is transmutation, which is a spiritual sounding word for extreme makeover. Something transmuted is the same thing, but in a higher form. If you have a copy of Eat, Pray, Love at home, reread the next to the last chapter, 107. Elizabeth Gilbert tells about sitting on a beach years before her Eat, Pray, Love trip and calling up her negative blocks one by one, anger, sadness, unforgiveness. She categorized them as pain, anger, and shame. Let me read you just one paragraph. She says, I looked at each thought, at each unit of sorrow, and I acknowledged its existence and felt, without trying to protect myself from it, its horrible pain. And then I would tell that sorrow, it's okay. I love you. I accept you. Come into my heart now. It's over. I would actually feel the sorrow as if it were a living thing, enter my heart as if it were an actual room. And then I would say, next. She combined everything we've been talking about, turning to face the monsters, not just to acknowledge, but feel them without blaming herself for having them. She doesn't fight or try to get rid of them. She accepts and loves them and integrates them into her whole self. She energetically pulls them into her heart. And that's another way to get rid of the bad stuff. Love it. Turn it into good stuff. Transmute it. There's always gold in the shadow. The broken places are the strongest. The cracks let in the light or let it out. So, four steps for how to release the bad stuff. Reframe, ask to have them removed, energy work, and transmutation. Integrate them into your whole self. And all four end up in the same place, freedom from false beliefs. There's one more way. And this is a new idea to me that comes from Janet Connor. I know I talk about her a lot. She's a spiritual writer. She says, laugh it off. These blocks or negative beliefs are just lies that we heard once and kept on telling ourselves. Maybe they were useful in the beginning, but they're no fun anymore and we're tired of them. Could you see your limiting beliefs as a cartoon? Could you see yourself as the caricature of the victim or someone who fears poverty or someone who tends to grandiosity? Could even your faults be adorable? Could you notice them and say, there I go again? Or, loveless Lulu is back. You'll never be loved, kid. Janet Connor says, as long as the heart is weighted down by the lie, there's not enough lightness for it to take flight. Think of the caterpillar and the butterfly. The caterpillar has been crawling along, gorging on lies. But once it's transformed, the butterfly can just lift off. Could we lighten up that much? And I know how ironic it is for me to be suggesting to you to lighten up. But I'm hoping maybe how we release the bad stuff doesn't have to be a painful slog through the past, enumerating all our failures. True divinity has great lightheartedness. Think of the Dalai Lama giggling. Have you ever heard your angels laughing at you? Mine do. And here, we laugh a lot at the human condition. We recognize our shared experience and how silly humans are sometimes, and how fearful. When we know we're divine, we know we live eternally, we know we are God expressing on earth, and we know everything here is temporary. Given that, all of our drama just becomes funny. So, notice this week the ways you limit and put yourself down, how you might be blocking your good with negative beliefs and self-criticism. Remember those beliefs originally served a purpose, but they're just not fun anymore. It's like the taste goes out of chewing gum and your jaw gets tired. What? Try to see them with humor, which is also compassion. Thank them for their gifts and let them go serve someone else. Watch them lift off like a butterfly. Okay, let's take these thoughts into meditation. You know, there is a thing called a laughing meditation, which I will not attempt to lead. But if you ever have a chance, it's fun and funny, and you end up laughing at the great cosmic joke that life is. But we can at least go to that place within where our heart is light. Can you feel the lightness? Can you clear away the thoughts enough to let a great cosmic giggle bubble up from within you? We are living in a beautiful place. And most days, all is well. We may also be living at a tipping point in human history. We may be the advance guard of the great change in humanity, the next great change, so that the world will live in higher consciousness and greater peace. It has always been the desire of humanity. It is our evolutionary impulse. It's the divine within, pushing us and calling us higher. And so we answer, setting aside whatever baggage we've picked up in our human lifetimes, to follow the flight of the butterfly, to elevate ourselves above it all, and to see the divine order in our lives. And so for just a minute, enjoy that lightness of heart where God dwells within you. Grateful for all the lightness and laughter in our lives, for all the ways that we release whatever old beliefs we picked up along the way. Maybe this is what we mean when we say our spirits are high. And so it is. Amen.